Take your Bibles and go to John. The key word in the book of John is believe. It's mentioned 90 times in 21 chapters. You're going to find the word believe and everlasting life. Believe, eternal life. You're going to find those just linked over, and all you have to do to get eternal life is believe. And when you look up this word, it shows you depend upon, solely rely upon. It means to roll all of your weight on so that there is nothing on anything else. This word believe here, when you put your faith in Christ and Him only, that is what it's trying to get across to you. Jesus is not supposed to be one of the things you trust to get to heaven. He's supposed to be the only thing you trust to get to heaven. Okay? The word believe, it's the key word. You'll find it 90 times. The purpose of the book is salvation. You're in John chapter 1. Can we go to John chapter 20 and look at verse number 30 here real quick? We'll come back to John 1. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. That is the purpose of the book of John. That is why we tell people this book is one of the books, there's two, one of the books that was given to us by God to show us how to get saved is the book of John. That's the verse that we use. These things, what things? Every chapter except has its own theme. All 21 chapters, there are seven miracles in the book of John. These things are shown you so that you could believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. There are seven I ams in the book of John. I'll cover them with you. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. There's only 7 days when you go from John 1 to John 21. You're only going to cover 7 days of Jesus' 33 and a half years on earth. 7 days. Those 7 days are the days that God wants you to focus on while you read the book of John, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through His name. All right? These things, the book of John is written to show you salvation. That's why, okay, and we'll cover it in a couple of weeks. There's one other book in your New Testament that was written to help you understand salvation. Does anybody know what it is? The book of John is one. God plainly says John was written to show you how to get saved. What's the other book in the New Testament? Romans. Why? Who was in control of the world at that time? The Romans. What was the book of Romans written to? The world. The known world. And it was written to what? Show you what happened when you got saved. So when a new Christian comes to me and says, I've never read a book through, what book should I start on? I'll say either John or Romans. And if they're a brand new Christian, I'll normally just point them right to John. I'll just point them right to John. Go back to John chapter 1. Remember, Matthew is written to show Jesus as a king. Mark is written to show Jesus as a servant, the suffering servant. He's our burden bearer. And you'll see that in Mark. Luke, we learned last week, shows the humanity of our Savior, and it shows how Jesus is our example. How do I live the Christian life? How do I be like Jesus? And we kind of went through two things last week. That's Luke. John is written for one purpose, to show you that Jesus is God, that He's the only one that could be the Savior. That's what the book of John is written for. The theme, I put the purpose of the book is salvation, and we showed you that. That's what God's purpose for it was. The theme is John 1:14. You're in John chapter 1. Look at verse 14. If this isn't marked in your Bible, it ought to be. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Capital W, the Word was made flesh. That's the theme of John. God put on flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So the theme of John is God coming to us. Now we got that. Go from 14 to 1, John 1:1. All right, stay in John. Now let me read with you just a little bit. In the beginning was the Word. It's capitalized. In the beginning was the Word. One of the names of Jesus Christ is the Word of God. That's Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. You say, wait a second. Well, wait, what is a word? A word is a expression of a thought, right? You thought before you talked, and you expressed the thought in a word. Jesus is just that. He is the expression of God. He is the Word of God. Just like you express your thoughts, God expressed Himself in Jesus Christ. That's why He is the Word. Now that you got that, ready? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is God. That's three times in one verse Jesus is called the Word. Look at verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. By God, by Jesus Christ. He's the same. He's the Lord God Almighty. He is the Creator. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. If you take verse 1, it is easy to link it with verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. I don't know how many people, when I've showed them that the way of salvation, God put on flesh, like you and I put on clothing. And He clothed Himself in our humanity. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is what Jesus did. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. Then when you look at verse 12, look at verse 12, ready? But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So when you receive Christ, if you read the verse, I love that verse. If you receive Him, God gives you power to become His son. You get saved, you become a child of God, but you do not start to grow unless you let Him, right? He saves you instantly, totally, praise God, saved to the uttermost. But you don't become, you don't start acting like His child until you submit. You understand? Because I've seen Christians. Aren't you glad you don't have to come to church to be saved? Be careful about doing this now. Well, they got saved, but they didn't come to church. Well, they got saved, but they didn't come to church and get baptized. I don't think they really got saved. Careful. We're Bible-believing Baptists. We're not Church of Christ. Church of Christ say that. Well, they didn't come to church and get baptized, so they're not saved. We're Baptists. Amen? Okay? If you receive the Lord Jesus, you become His child, you get saved, but you don't experience that child-father relationship until you submit. Until you submit, okay? And so I love that verse. Now go back to, let me show you something sweet. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. Watch this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Can you just listen real closely? In your New Testament, the word is found seven times. What's the number of God? Seven, the number of completeness. Okay? 1 John is going to tell you, 1 John 5:7, when I read that, I always think this. Jesus, His name is the Word of God. Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. I do not make a mistake if I pray this way. O thou Word of God, please be with us today. Well, His name's Jehovah. You're supposed to pray to the Lord Jesus. His name is the Word of God. That's one of His names. That's not a mistake. Listen closely. When I read John 1:1, I'm introduced to a truth, and this is the way it goes. You don't love Jesus any more than you love your Bible, because they're inseparable if it's a King James Bible. You're only as close to Jesus as you are your Bible. They're one and the same. That's why you'll find, that's why when you, your Bible time and you reading Jesus and getting Jesus in you is vital. Well, I just don't have time for that. It's probably one of the most important things you do after you get saved is put Jesus, the Word, in you. Your Bible time every day. I think a normal time, if you've never done it before, 15 minutes is a good way to start your day with the Word of God. You say, well, I've never done that before. I had times. Start in the book of John. Let me wet your taste buds. 15, 20 minutes. I know one thing. I had so much garbage in my head from the rock music and the filth and all that. It took me 30 minutes of reading my Bible till I got anything out of it. I had so much junk up here. Something's got to wash my brain. Do you understand? And this, my brain needs washing, okay? Because it was very dirty. Amen? So the Word and Jesus are the same. If you have a King James Bible, I don't say that about all the other Bibles. They're perversions. However, your time with your Bible is your time with Jesus. It's very important that you understand that as a Christian. Don't ever minimize your Bible time. I need Him, and you need Him. Okay? Now, as we look through this, let me take you on a concept. Are you ready? When we saw Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we saw our Savior as a king, a servant, and man. When you come to John, listen to this percent. 92% of what you're going to read in the book of John is different than what you're going to read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Most of what you're going to read in John is not in the other Gospels. Okay? So, it might be easier. Last week I took you on a journey in Luke and I said, what's in Luke that isn't in the rest of the Gospels? Okay? And we went through, you remember the Emmaus Road and the virgin birth and things like that. That's going to be mentioned in Luke. Now listen to the question. If you're reading John, 92% of what you're reading is not found anywhere else. This is very specific. God is targeting one thing when you read John. He wants you to know that Jesus is God Almighty. He's the Christ. For instance, these miracles here, like Lazarus, you'll only find Lazarus being raised from the dead in John. But that's a big miracle. That's only God can do that. Now the feeding of the 5,000, that's found also in all the other Gospels. But the blind man from birth, healed in John chapter 9, that's only in John. The water turned to wine. How can God take and change substance just with the speaking of His voice, the same way He created the universe, let there be light? He speaks things into existence. The water to wine's the first miracle. And God says, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about how He took seven barrels, firkins or however you want to call them. We don't talk that way, but just talk bushel baskets. Picture these containers filled with water and Jesus just speaks them into wine. Grape juice. It's very important that you understand that too. It was not fermented wine. It couldn't have been. God forbids it. You understand? Jesus would never violate his word. You understand? It was grape juice. And the way they would do it is they boiled down the juice, and normally they would bury it in earthen pots covered in leather. That's what you did during grape season, right? How are you going to store the juice? Then they'd pull the thing out, take the cover off, pour it in, and fill it up with, and then finish it with water. It was like grape juice concentrate. Okay? It was like a syrup. And then they'd spin it. That's how come they said, wow, this is like what? New wine. This is like fresh grape juice. This isn't like what you normally serve. You know, the concentrate that's from last year's mix from the cellar. This is like you just squeezed these. They said, this is very good. Jesus said, I want you to think about that miracle. The nobleman's son healed. The impotent man. These miracles, God says, I want you to think about these in the 7 days. Let's take another journey here as I try to give you an overview. The seven I Ams. Why would this be important? Go to Exodus chapter 3. Keep your finger right there at John. John is a fifth grade reading level book. It's the easiest book in the Bible to read. Did you know all the new versions that say they're easier to read than the King James Bible? They start at a 6.7 grade reading level. That's according to what the schools use. If you take and copy and paste it into the, you know, verb complexity and sentence structure and everything else, the new Bibles, the NIV, all of it, they all start. The NIV goes up to an eighth grade reading level. That's how come people don't memorize the NIV. Your King James Bible is a lot easier to memorize. You say, but it's got the these and the thous and the those and the whithersoever thou goest. I know it does. But the way it's structured, when you read your King James Bible, it increases your IQ because of the word structure. Because what do you think with? Words, right? And the King James Bible is the only book in the world that is perfect grammar and perfect English. It's perfectly structured. That's why somebody said, oh, I don't make an issue of the new Bibles. I do. I had a lot of questions when I got saved. It's a fifth grade reading level. It's one that's easiest to read with children. Easiest to read with children. You're at Exodus 3:14. This is Moses. You know, God appears to him in the burning bush. And God said, well, just read verse, I'll read 13 to you. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. So God says, my name is I am, Yahweh, Jehovah, the eternal, ever-present one. We don't, to me, I'm not going to go into it too much, but just listen real carefully. When God says, I am, that's my name. That means I don't dwell in yesterday, and I don't dwell in tomorrow. We dwell in time limits, right? We're bound by time. God is eternal. That's why 1,000 years is as one day to the Lord, and one day is 1,000 years. We don't understand that. God is eternal. We're finite. We have our limitations. God said, I am the I am. I'm the one who's always with you at all times. And yesterday or tomorrow means nothing to me. That's why he's already there tomorrow. He's already in your tomorrow. He already knows what you're facing tomorrow. Isn't that wonderful? Now, wait a second. When God says, my name is I am, you take Exodus 3:14 and you then can combine it with when Jesus is talking and he says, now go to John 6:35, would you? Now, okay, and just keep Exodus 3:14 in reference. John chapter 6, verse number 34, but 35 is where he says it. John 6:34, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, do you know what he was saying? He was saying that was in reference to the Old Testament Jehovah God. And the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament is the same as God Almighty in the Old Testament. He was saying, I am. And all the Jews knew what he was talking about. Because every time he talked that way, three times in the book of John, they wanted to kill him. Do you know why? Because in speaking, they said, you just made yourself God. He said, you guessed her, Chester. No, I mean, Jesus didn't talk that way. But yeah, y'all are a bunch of slow freight. But yeah, I am God. And every time, all three times, look up the word on your, in a concordance, but look up the word stoning. They wanted to stone Jesus before he was crucified three times. All three times that they wanted to stone him was because he had made a statement that said, I am God. As a matter of fact, let me show one to you. You're in John chapter 6 right there. Look at John chapter 5. Okay, look at verse number 17. But I'm at John 5, 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now stop just a second. You see verse 18? It says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Okay, all he said was, my Father, in verse 17, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now, we wouldn't have caught that. But something he said, they caught it, and they said, we're going to stone you for this. Why? Look at the statement. Look at verse 18. Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, watch, making himself equal with God. We wouldn't have caught that. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. But the Jews said, you called God your Father. You just made yourself equal with God. We'll kill you for that. And of course, two more times in the book of John, you'll find that they do that. He is God. The Jews rejected him as the Messiah. They rejected him as God. And that's one of the saddest things, obviously. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. However, it is good for you to know as you read through the book of John, you're going to find them, they get so angry, we'll kill you. You made yourself equal with God. He said, to see me is to see God. Okay, and I'll let you find those as you read through it, but it's good to mark your thing. Ready? Now, why would we go there? Now that I laid the foundation, Jesus, God says, his name is I am. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You're supposed to eat me. Just like bread has carbohydrates. By the way, we got a lot of bread out here. Seven boxes. Okay? I don't think this has happened for 6 months from Panera Bread, so please take some carbohydrates with you. Okay? But when you eat bread, your saliva breaks it down, and I won't go into all that, but you get energy from the bread. Jesus said, I am your bread. Put me in your body, in your mind, and get your energy from my truth. And all of John chapter 6 is going to be what? He feeds the 5,000, and then he says, I am the bread. I want you to put me in you and get your strength from life from me, just like you do bread. Look at the next I am. When Jesus says here, you're in John 6. I'm sorry, we were in John 5. Go to John 8. Let's look at the next one. I'm not going to look at all of them with you, but it's just beautiful to think about. John chapter 8, and look at verse number 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Ready? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What does light do? Light illuminates. Light shows you where you're going. A Christian should never be directionless. Jesus said, I am God that illuminates. I am the light of the world. If you will let me, I can illuminate your life. I can show you your direction. I can show you where to not go, and I can show you where to go. I know a lot of Christians that don't let God direct their life. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're yielded to the Lord. That's something we're all learning, right? I am the light of the world. Then, in chapter 10, you've got two of the I ams. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. Then he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the one. What does a shepherd do? Keeps you from straying. Come back over here. You got to keep on. Okay, fine. Pulls the sheep. Does what? Breaks the leg. And then does what? Puts the lamb on his shoulders and carries it till it can learn to stay with the flock. What does a shepherd do? Leads you to water, feeds you, guides you. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am God Almighty. I want to be your shepherd. And if I just, I am the resurrection. This is in link to Lazarus. And I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14. And finally, I am the vine. Very, if you'll use that, I like thinking about that when you read your Bible as far as God being the, in the Old Testament, God Almighty and the I Am, and His name being the I Am. Okay, go to John chapter 3. Go to John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. And he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When you read John chapter 3, you're reading, it, to me, I can't tell you how many people I've used this with, but a religious person, do you know how, and we just got to be taught to think this way, a religious person can be very religious and lost. Do you know who Nicodemus was? He was he wasn't just a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Pharisees. Do you know what that meant? That meant he had the book of Deuteronomy memorized. Here's a religious man that had part of the Bible memorized, probably more than maybe all of us put together. I don't know. I don't have a whole book of the Bible memorized. And he's telling him, what you are has to be changed. You must be born again. You have to be regenerated. Not renewed, but you have to be changed what you are. You have to be born again. And this teaches me, there's a lot of religious people. They don't hate God. They go to church. They're as a matter of fact, they're pretty nice people. They pay their bills on time. But in the past month, I've led three to the Lord that said, oh, I'm a God-fearing person. And this is the question. Has anybody ever taken the Bible and shown you how to go to heaven? Well, no. Could I? Why, sure. And then they'll let me show them. You know what Nicodemus teaches me? That you can be very religious and lost. And Jesus looks at a religious person and says, you must be born again. Let's read just a little bit more here. Watch this. Verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? If there was probably the stupidest question in the Bible, can you imagine Jesus? It's at night. And I want to see this video when I get to heaven. Do you understand? I want to see the conversation. Because when Nicodemus says, how can I go back into my mother the second time? I don't know if our Savior went, maybe hit him on the back of the head. No, you can't do that. Well, then watch this. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered, except a man, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What's water? Water is the natural birth. You have to have a natural birth and a spiritual birth. And everybody in here should have 2 days that are very important to you. And the second's probably more important than the first. But you have a physical birthday. And then you have a day where you were born again. That's your spiritual birthday. And you have to have two births. physical and spiritual, to get into heaven, okay, to be saved, all right? And I there's so many wonderful little journeys we could take with John. Enjoy reading it this week. God bless y'all.